Hello and welcome to episode 28 of the Thundercast. On today's show, we are talking The Walking Dead 400 Days, Telltale's DLC prologue to Season 2 of the award-winning adventure title. I'm Matthew Sorry, and joining me today I have Shane Ryan.
Now then.
Now, this game's a bit of an experiment for Telltale. They had a lot of success with their original take on The Walking Dead, which was kind of a point-and-click adventure title, but 400 Days follows five different perspectives, or possibly six. It's been 3 weeks since I've played it. Each of these perspectives has their own little story. They're each 10-minute, 15-minute vignettes of story, very much in the vein of the gameplay of the original Walking Dead. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was quite a successful experiment, and I like the way that Telltale brought all of those stories together at the end. What did you think of it, Shane?
It was good in comparison to other things, but to what they've done previously, there was a sense of disappointment overall.
Okay.
It first started, the first episode, because essentially you start and it's all set around kind of a petrol station. I can't remember if that's the petrol station from the first season or not. Is it the same one? No, it's different, isn't it?
I think it's different to the one in the original season.
Yes, it is, because
it's been such a long time since I've played.
It's more apartment block, isn't it? It's like a motel rather than
it's a different
place. But it's like five central stories set around this. With like some sort of minimal visual crossover between each one, and it starts with a notice board, and there's like five Polaroid pictures pinned to the board, and you pick one at a time, and a hand comes up and takes it and looks at it, and then you get their story and you play through. And the first one I played was with two characters that are speeding away in a car and having a conversation about one of them's just shot somebody and why they've done it in a panic. It doesn't seem to be a looting thing or anything evil. It just seems like you don't know what's happened, but something's gone wrong.
Yeah.
And you've had to shoot somebody, and then a van starts chasing you, and it kind of just goes from there. And that felt, in my review of the kind of the final chapter of season one, I noted that if you write it down on paper and look back at it cynically, you can easily go, oh yeah, you can see this coming a mile off. But it's all part of the illusion, and if you don't see these little elements working away in the background while you're playing through the game, that's the magic at work. But in this particular part of this character, it was really obvious. And I could see where the choice was coming, and I could see, oh, this is when this happened. And I could say, oh, he's going over here, so obviously that's going to happen. And it was really obvious.
Hmm. So you're talking about Wyatt's story there, isn't it? That's Wyatt's story. Okay, so you thought you could see through the design there, and wasn't really a choice.
That was a really weak one. There are better ones, better ones in there, but that's the main thing. That was a bad start. Afterwards, I picked the one where it's the prisoners, and that used the typical kind of big Walking Dead moment choice, but it wasn't a bad thing throughout. It was just that I could see it, because I think they had such a short time that you don't get the episode build-up. It's just, you know, you've got like 5 minutes and then bang, big choice, and it's a bit easier to see it.
You don't really get to learn the characters as you knew them, say, in the original season of The Walking Dead. You really got to know those characters, and that made the choices that you made, that you were presented with, they made them difficult choices.
Yes, absolutely. And because you know they'd carry over.
Yeah. But I definitely felt, I think Telltale's really good at painting characters and getting things across straight away, so... Mm-hmm. In Wyatt's story, like you said, you have that initial thing of, oh, this guy's just shot a guy. So you instantly know the situation. You instantly get an impression of what kind of person he is and the way he's reacting to it. He's panicking about it, but Wyatt, the guy that he's with, he's maybe not as panicked and he's kind of okay with it. Just one question then. Did you play it chronologically? Because each of these five chapters takes place a different amount of time away from the original zombie outbreak, whenever it was.
I didn't. I think I mixed them up a bit.
Okay, I played it chronologically, so it'd be interesting to see how we, like, different views that we have on those stories then. So I played Vince's story first, the guy that you just talked about, the guy who's on the prison bus.
Yep.
And like you say, that's a typical Walking Dead choice, shoot the guy, don't shoot the guy. Mm-hmm. I thought that was the weakest one of the bunch myself.
Mm-hmm.
I thought
was it because it was too obvious for that choice? It felt like a Walking Dead choice.
Yeah, and I think as you said, you could definitely see it coming. Like,
yes,
you could see all the signs, like they signal them. You could see the guys are chained there, so you know one of them's going to turn into a zombie, and the other one's going to be stuck next to him. You're going to have to choose whether to shoot the zombie or something, and you could see that you were chained to two other guys.
Mm-hmm.
So you know there's going to be another choice there where you have to choose one of those guys. It just felt kind of obvious and signaled to me.
Yeah. Like yeah, you could see a lot of it coming a mile away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I couldn't tell if that was, I thought that was partially intentional, especially when there's somebody that's dead there and you know they're going to come back, but the other characters don't.
Yeah.
So it's kind of playing off that idea, but I do know what you mean. It is a clear moment. I mean, the other thing, before we get into what does work, the thing that I found difficult is that in the original, you had the one main character.
Yeah.
And you either... intentionally or not, either kind of role played that character as it went along or played him as yourself and what you would do. And so you got that attachment to Lee. But in this one, you are not any of those characters and you can't. It asks you to kind of role play more with different characters and get more into the headset rather than just playing just yourself five times. And that's more difficult. So, obviously, this is just a. Kind of go between that kind of carries over season 1 to 2, but I really, really hope they do not carry over the multiple character thing, and you only get the one person to play in season 2 because it does not work as well.
See, I didn't find that as much of a problem. That didn't really put me off so much because I never really felt I liked Lee as a character, mm-hmm. the guy that you play in the first season, but I never felt like I was inhabiting Lee and making Lee's decisions. I always felt like I was making my decisions, so. It didn't really matter who I was playing as. I would just make the choices that I would make in those situations. And it doesn't really matter to me who my avatar was, necessarily. So I suppose that's a different way that we've approached these games. Maybe you want to inhabit a role, a character, more so than I do.
Yeah, I found it... It wasn't a bad thing throughout. I still got into the characters. It was just that you were... As the player or the audience, you were being asked... I felt you were being asked more to care quicker. Yeah. And in some of those, especially that first story I told about, is I just didn't have any attachment. I was like, well, I don't... I'm going to be given a choice in a moment. I don't really care.
Yeah. I definitely get what you're saying. I think when you spend such a small amount of time with these characters, mm-hmm. and I think Telltale's really good at describing who these characters are and getting that across, but even so, when you're only spending 15, 20 minutes with a character and a group of characters as well, you don't really get to know them, and when you're being asked to make decisions about other people's lives, I think it's season one that worked really well because you've got to know them, you got to know their flaws and what mm-hmm. they were scared of and what kind of people they were. But you don't really know that about these characters that you're deciding and making decisions for in each of these five stories.
Yeah. I think they're aware that you've played the first season already to play this, so they can't use the same thing. So going back to the first episode, you know, it's like 2 to 3 hours long, the original episode, and then at the end you get that first big Walking Dead choice out of nowhere, and it's just like, whoa, but in this, they can't use that again. They've got to do it straight away. And another thing I noticed that's just clicked now is I don't recall that timer on the screen that was in the first season.
You don't recall that? That was in the... Oh, right, or in this.
Yeah, I don't think there's one instance where you get a big choice and the timer just comes in and starts really rapidly. So if those that haven't played it, in the original you'd have a kind of... On a big event, you'd have a timer bar turn up that would rapidly decrease and you had to make a choice straight away. And it put that... And that was really good because it gave the impression that you were there then and you had to make the choice, and it was kind of that added pressure of people expecting you to do something then and there.
Yeah.
And I don't recall... this actually happening once.
That's a good point. I can't remember.
I don't think it did.
That happening.
And it seems like a weird omission that was not... One of the strongest bits in it wasn't there.
Yeah. I mean, I wrote a little blog post about that, actually, because I thought that was a really, really effective way of ramping up tension in those situations. If you're only given a limited amount of time to make a decision in, and that decision is a big one, you're choosing over lives, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
That really puts you under pressure, and that really, really worked in season 1 of The Walking Dead. I can't remember that happening in this. No. Though, right.
It's like, for example, it'd be moment. Like you've got five seconds. Do you shoot him or let him run? And you've got just like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Right, no, we're making the decision for you then. When this, that
yeah, exactly.
didn't happen.
Okay, that's interesting.
And the choices were more forced this time, because I there's one element where you have to do, well, you don't have to, but you're given the choice of doing an action that results in something bad happening. So yeah. I reloaded, went back to see if you could just not do it, and if you don't, you die, and you have to reload to do it. However, happens to you wouldn't even cause you to die. Mm. It's quite lazily written. And I thought,
that is a bit weak. One of the positive points I was going to bring up that I think works really well was the fact that I feel like, after having finished it, I feel like I want to go back and test the limits of it. Mm-hmm. I want to go back and see if I made this decision, if I changed my mind here and did something different, how would this situation pan out? How would this work out? And I think that's one of the best things about Telltale's Walking Dead games. That mm-hmm. It leaves you with that sense of, you've made a meaningful decision. If you went the other way, then something completely different could have happened. But I think in lots of instances, that isn't necessarily the case. Like you're saying, like your example there about a character that you play that got killed if you made a certain choice that shouldn't have even really killed you. Yeah. One of them, Russell's story. So Russell is a young guy backpacking mm-hmm. On a highway, and he ends up hitchhiking with this guy who turns up, who drives up to him in a truck. But at least he did in my episode.
Yeah, same here.
I didn't hide, and that intrigued me about, could you pass up this guy? Because this guy turns out to be quite a major part of Russell's story. So I was mm-hmm. intrigued about whether you could avoid this guy altogether, whether you could head into the forest and avoid him.
But I don't. You can. I think if you go back, this is what I mean about this. It makes it more obvious. Mm. I just thought, well, no, because this has to pan out like this.
Yeah, because he's such an integral part of the rest of the game, and you know that they haven't spent a lot of money developing another side to this story, to mm-hmm. Russell's story, where something completely different.
I mean, it would have been great to have just one of the five where, you know, maybe it's shorter than the rest, but there's two completely different, you know, scenarios to it, depending on what you pick at the beginning.
Yeah, I suppose that's kind of the challenge that Telltale face when they're designing these games, because they've only got a certain amount of budget. And if they design one game where you start from one area, one route area, and there's lots of branches that go off in completely different routes, that's an incredible lot of designing that you've got to do for a very short game, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
If they completely design it that way. But it's quite interesting that the game, I've always found, and I found it again with 400 Days, that it makes me think of those questions. It makes me wonder whether if I'd made this different decision.
Yeah.
It would go down a different route and something else would happen.
Yeah, that's what I mean. As long as you've got that, even if it's just the illusion of choice, but you kind of buy into it. It's like a magic trick, isn't it? If you see how the magician does it, it kills it. But if they do it in front of you and you don't figure out how they did that card trick, you think, wow, that's pretty amazing, that. And you kind of draw
really good
into
analogy,
the magic
actually,
of it.
Yeah. Telltale are magicians.
Sort of, yeah. But in this one, I mean, it's still good. And what I mean is, if you compare it to storytelling in other games, then
wipes the floor
still
with
better, but it was as a whole weaker and the format didn't quite work. Now I understand it's to introduce characters, and at mm-hmm. the end it seems to suggest that your actions in this may completely change who's in season 2 perhaps, or whether season 2, the first episode, is just going to include everyone and then just wipe a few people out quickly and
It's like I was just saying, I don't think Telltale are going to go away and design like two completely different branches that you can go along with these characters. I think in the first season, you'll see them all come back to, spoilers, I suppose we should have prefaced this with.
No, as long as we don't get specifics.
Yeah, I think you'll see lots of people come back together.
Yeah.
Because
it is the story of five characters. And it's the idea, it's, you know, what happened to these five people, and then obviously it's all leading up into the next one. So it's kind of like almost like a pilot introduction to who we can expect.
Yeah. Now, one thing that I think worked quite well was what you mentioned before about the gas station. There's a central theme running throughout each of these stories, that they all take place at this gas station.
Yeah, they either pass through or... And there's lots of little things where if you pay attention, you realise, oh, right, it was him who did that, or it was her that was there at that time. And so they're all... I like the idea that the key concept that I liked is that it's kind of this spiraling notion of the more that these people interact, the more and more that basically people die. So rather than it being people getting together and, you know, growing, it's the more human interaction there is as it spirals down, the more everyone ends up killing each other and falling out. So over the course of the five episodes, there's basically five mini groups that all end up spiraling and wiping each other out, even unintentionally.
Yeah. I mean, I think the final episode, Shell's story, mm-hmm. which takes place something that's like 240 days after the event or something like
yeah.
that. So quite a while after the event, and Shell is part of this community. It's a group of people who've established this community inside the gas station. And I think it's quite interesting how you see the first story and everything's going crazy, all hell's let loose because the zombies are just starting. And then the next few stories are kind of people wandering, people lost. And when you get to the end of it, you see a community, a group that's come together. I think yeah. that's quite nice how they did that. I like how the people and their relationships evolved over the time period.
Mm-hmm.
But Shell's story, I think, suffered from what you were talking about before in terms of lack of characterization because you don't spend a lot of time with these people. And therefore, the choices that you make about these people don't really matter that much because Shell's story asks you to make a lot of choices about people in your group and what happens to them.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't know those people, it's hard to care.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, I mean, that story, it was okay, but at the end, you have that story, like, at the end of all of them, really, you're either given a choice of actions, which goes one of two ways, or you actually just have a straight-up choice to make. And when you're given the choice, I was kind of thinking, oh, what do I really want to do here? But then I just thought, well, the rest of the episodes, it doesn't really matter. It's yeah. just going to be the same. So mm-hmm. I went, now, maybe it's going to come back round in the second series, but as we've said, that would open up what... so many variables already. It's like what happened with Mass Effect 2 to Mass Effect 3 when they said there's thousands of variables now, and that's why they had to start yeah. funneling everything in, because basically the scope gets too big and then you end up disappointing people. So what I hope is that, what I expect is the first episode will kind of compress that all back down and bring it back
I
in
think
line.
So, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I can see that happening. Yeah, everything comes together, or everyone comes back together, if you will.
So
I want to ask you, which was your favourite story of the five?
I'm trying to think now of what the five were.
Well, I'll just go through. The first one was Vince's story. So yeah. Vince is the guy who murders someone, then ends up on
the prison
bus.
Yep.
Then you got Wyatt's, which is the guy who's just shot someone and mm-hmm. Wyatt in the car in the foggy forest, and they get chased by a truck.
Yep.
Russell's story. Russell's the young guy hitchhiking, gets picked up. Mm-hmm. And ends up at the gas station. Bonnie's story, we haven't talked about Bonnie so far. So yep. Bonnie's a middle-aged woman, falls in love with this guy who is with his wife, and only seems to be the three of them, so there's a lot of tension in that group.
Mm-hmm.
But then they end up getting chased by a bunch of people.
Yep.
I think were those people from the gas station? I'm not sure.
They might have been.
I think they might have been, yeah. I think they were. I think that's what was hinted at. So there was Bonnie's story, and they end up going through the cornfield. Mm-hmm. And bad things happen, as they do in all of these stories. And then the Shell story. Shell's the mm-hmm. woman with a little sister in the group at the gas station at the end.
See, when you say it like that, this is what I mean. I don't think there really was a standout one when I look back. I mean, you didn't really like Vince's one, but I think the choice there and the way that yeah. you're given a choice of, you know, who dies and who doesn't, and as it is with Walking Dead, this series, it's always your choice. But yeah. in this one, they've added in the element where, rather than just kind of picking one, as you move towards like Panny's direction, either one, they panic and they know and they react.
Yeah, that's so always
I quite like that, but it was at the same time very a Walking Dead moment.
It felt obvious. It didn't, yeah. it wasn't, doesn't mean it was necessarily bad. I just don't think it was as impactful as it could have been because it was pretty obvious. It's still a tense moment, and you're still making a decision that most of the games wouldn't even think about presenting you with.
Yep. So overall, they were fine. It was just that this is what I meant about when you were just Lee. It had that consistency.
Yeah.
And kind of going into the next season, we're probably not going to play any of these characters, but we've already played them. So it's going to be weird. Like in the first one, as Lee, you didn't know what the other people were really thinking. Obviously it's scripted and you have those conversations, but you don't know what the developers might have something extra that they're going to bring in. But now that I've played these people, I feel like I have more of an idea of where their directions are going to go. And like who's going to be the guilty one? Who's going to be the one who's at first going to appear to be the nice guy and then end up being the one who just says kill them all sort of thing. And I can see those lines being drawn already.
You can see the characters being drawn out. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm really looking forward to the second season. And if you played the first season, I highly recommend that you pick this up because it's cheap. It's like 400 point Microsoft points. I mean, it's about
£5. I don't think it's as good or as any of the chapters from the first season because of the things that we talked about. But I still think it's worth picking up if you're interested in The Walking Dead.
Definitely.
And choice in storytelling, in video game storytelling. Mm-hmm. Still a great example.
The only other not negative, but the thing is, I've been thinking about it, is what's going to happen with saves as this carries on? Because I'm on the 360 playing it now, mm-hmm. and that's got all my choices on it. So as we go into next gen and other things, is there going to be, are people going to have to start again or start the second series with no saves? Or what if they're 360 or whatever breaks?
Well, I imagine you'll be able to, because you can do cloud saving on the 360 now, can't you?
Yeah.
So I imagine, well, you've got a small amount of space.
It's the only reason to keep my console about.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I imagine they'll ask you to transfer things like this over, you've got games where the choices feed into each other.
Yeah.
If down the line the next Walking Deads are going to be on the next generation of consoles, I think they'll maybe ask you to save it on the cloud and then sync it with your account and then download it again so they know what choices you've made. Because that's such an integral part of this game. And I really want the choices that I've made in 400 days to feed over into the next chapter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really connects them all and builds one big picture. I think it really works very well.
Yeah. So that's made me think, are they conscious of this and there's going to be minimal, and it's more what happens in this episode that shapes it? I wish they'd been clearer about that, because if they'd said, look, there's minimal stuff
in the first chapter,
It's more what happens in this that carries over to season two. So if you're going to change platform or you're going to go onto PC, do that.
Save this save file.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because if they just said, "Oh, this is what's important, season 2," I would have just played it on the PC because even a low PC is going to run this because it doesn't ask for a lot
without the technical glitches, which is probably worth saying. Yes, the 360 version still has them. They're still left over from the first season.
The engine's on its last legs.
I don't know why. Like, it's not exactly the most technically demanding of games, or it doesn't seem like it to me, at least. It's relatively low, not resolution, but its art style allows for it to be relatively low intensity on the hardware, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think it's just badly built.
Yeah.
Well, not badly built, but I think it's been... It's one of those things where they've probably had their old engine and they've just had to keep tacking stuff on. And as they've got to this, they've had to put more stuff on. And when it pans out, the frame rate kind of drops and it looks does look low res. And it's like, well, there's only four character models on screen.
I know. And when you see some of the things that the current generation consoles are able to do when people optimize things, and then you play a game like The Walking Dead, it is kind of strange that this doesn't run very well. Even now, six chapters in, is it? It's quite far in. And they're gearing up for the second season as well, so you would have thought you might have seen some engine improvements in this chapter. But
I think they've not done any for this, really, because it's using the same engine, because it gets this is like a DLC for the first season. So I think with the second season, we will see an improvement to the engine. I mean, they've come out and already said, you know, they are making improvements and they've got this new... Well, not a new engine, but they've worked on it. But again, I'm always... They're bound to say that, so I just hope they do, but I'll see when we actually play the second season, which I think... is rumoured to be later this year?
I think it's the end of the year,
Yeah.
I think they're going to stagger them at the end of the year. Okay, so it's and these technical glitches, they're not major problems. They're just small hiccups. They don't ruin the experience. It's still a great...
It doesn't crash.
No, exactly, It never broke or anything like that for me. So what do you think? Let's talk about the gameplay, because we talked a lot about story and choices and the way it goes. And obviously choice is a big part of The Walking Dead's gameplay. But what about the action elements? There were a few action elements in this.
Yep.
So say like in Bonnie's story, the fourth story chronologically, there's a section in a cornfield. You're being chased by people with flashlights and you take refuge in a cornfield and you can move between neatly ordered rows of corn and you're trying to avoid these people with flashlights.
Yep.
Kind of, it's a little bit like Frogger in a strange way.
Yeah, it reminded me of Indiana Jones on the Amiga, where you've got like a flashlight in the tunnel and you could just see the red eyes of rats and you've got to kind of walk down these lanes.
You've got channels.
Yeah, it's very old style.
It's very old school. Yeah. It's still not The Walking Dead's strongest point in these action elements.
No.
I appreciate them because I like the way they break up the flow. Mm-hmm. If everything was just choice and story, it'd be a little bit too much. I appreciate the way that they break up the floor, and they tried a few more things, like I'm talking about with this, I don't know, this cornfield sequence. There's a sequence in Wyatt's story, the second one, that I really liked. So in Wyatt's story, you're driving away from this place where the guy that you're with has just shot someone. you're all panicked, and this guy drives into someone on the road. Mm-hmm. I think it was a police officer. So you choose whether you want to get out, or at least I think you do. This is the decision I made. Yeah. I chose to get out and try and help this police officer, drag him back to the car. But I like that section because you get to the police officer and then the zombies start coming.
So you've got this to... is different to mine.
Ah, right. See, this is quite interesting.
The reason I didn't like this episode, or that section, is because the choice didn't match the conversation choices I made, because I, again, like you, wanted to be the one to go out and look. And I thought I was picking that. And then you have to do like a rock, paper, scissors thing with the guy to see who goes. And I thought I was doing that to go. Yeah. So I did it to win. And then he's like, all right, then, you don't have to go, I'll go. And I was like, wait, no, this is not...
So he lost rock, paper, scissors?
No, I won.
Oh, you won, sorry, yeah.
But for some reason, the game or the decisions I'd made, at some point he had decided that I didn't want to go when that was not the choices I was making.
No, that's quite interesting. So I won. I lost rock, paper, scissors.
Right, there you go.
I think. Mm. So you can win or lose it.
Yes.
And then subsequently...
So the other guy went out.
So that's taking the decision out of your hand, really, because rock, paper, scissors is a random game. You can't really play it unless you're playing with a person who you know and you can read their facial cues and things like that. Mm-hmm. That's the only way you can play that. All right, so that's quite interesting. But I liked the action sequence in that, because as you're dragging the policeman back to the car, zombies start coming, and you've got to balance time that you drag, and you've got to drop him and shoot the zombies. It was one of those kind of sequences.
Okay.
I don't know, like a Resident Evil-style sequence. I can imagine that being in a Resident Evil game. And it's quite interesting that if you take too long, as I did, then the guy in the car drives away and leaves you there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure whether that's just what was always going to happen again, because so many sections of The Walking Dead give you choice and it actually pans out to be meaningful. I'm not sure in that section whether if I was quicker and I got back to the car, then I would have been able to get in and drive off with him, or it's because I took too long that left me there.
So, shall we get into spoilers or shall we not? Because the listeners, we can either leave this now and not discuss it, or...
Well, let's do it. Let's just say spoilers from now on, if you don't want to hear anything. We've talked about quite a lot anyway, but...
Yep. Yeah, so, spoilers again, if you don't want to hear. So, yes, he does automatically drive away.
Because I had
stayed in the car when I didn't want to, because the conversation tree, for some reason, must have gone the wrong way that I thought it was going. And the guy in the Jeep turns up.
Yeah.
And you have a fight, and then you drive away because he starts to try to shoot you.
And you're left. Are you left there?
Oh, no, because I was in the car. Wyatt is the one that drives away because the guy tries to shoot him while he's sat in the driver's seat of the car.
See, that's quite... No, so your Wyatt drove away and left the other guy, whereas in mine, Wyatt was left there dragging the police officer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's quite interesting.
And then the guy who's in the truck, who's following them, you shoot out his car light... And he is the guy who picks up Russell.
Right, okay. See, I didn't get that. I didn't pick that up.
And the people... And the old woman with Bonnie who steals the bag, she steals it from the people at the gas station. And they're the ones.
The way that all the stories tie together, I think, was really clever.
That was the best bit.
I think it was really good.
Looking back at it.
That's the best bit about this.
Because when you're Shell and you look at the flashlight supplies and she says, oh, we lost one in the cornfield, we never found it, it's because Bonnie has it.
Yeah, so there's so many little things. There's lots and lots of little links there between each of these stories that build up one picture of events around this gas station.
And with Bonnie, when you hit, I can't remember her name now. Is it Mo or something?
The woman.
Yeah, it's not Mo. I can't remember her name.
I can't
now.
Remember the wife.
Yeah,
you hit her and you smash her up.
Yeah, that's the one where
that was horrible. That's
it's the one where if you don't hit her, she basically just comes on the corner and hits you with a flashlight and it says you're dead. And
what?
I was like, what?
Oh, right. Oh, that's that section.
Yeah. So if you don't smash her, you automatically die. So it makes you do it, even though you wouldn't die, because why would a flashlight kill you?
See, that always feels... See, most of the games that would happen, you wouldn't think about it, but that always feels cheap. That feels cheap in a game like this, because you were given so much decision elsewhere. Mm-hmm. You're given so much freedom of choice elsewhere.
I mean, why couldn't they have done it where, if you didn't go to hit her, somebody just stepped out of the woods and like shot her in the head and then walked away? And then you didn't get the bag, sort of thing, because the bag comes irrelevant anyway. And then that guy could come in and say, what's happened? And you'd be like, oh, I couldn't save her. And you still have a bit of guilt, but it's still the same outcome, because everything has to funnel back into, you know, the same sort of ending, as it were. It's just the stuff that happens along the way. So I felt I was like, oh. That's
stupid. Yeah, that's a bit of a disappointment, actually. Okay. That's quite interesting. Right, so Just one more thing before we wrap this up. I want to talk about the news that Clementine is going to be in the next season of The Walking Dead, because that's recently been announced by Telltale. What do you think about that? Are you happy about that?
No,
or
I'm not.
Do you wish that Walking Dead season one was just left where it was, in isolation?
Absolutely.
Why so?
Because it's just... I mean, one of the reasons they may have done it is because people... Again, I get concerned when developers listen to people on the internet too much. There's a time and place for it, but can you imagine film directors going on forums and going, oh, yeah, you're right, actually, I'm going to go back and change this bit of my story because you say you don't want it in there. So people are like, I'm not going to get a second season if Clementine's not in it. Well, why do we want her in it? We've had her story arc. All this is going to mean is that it can ruin it. That's the only thing. It's not going to improve it, because it's already been great, so all you're going to do is make it worse, at best.
It can retrospectively worsen the original series of The Walking Dead.
Yeah, once if they botch up the writing, or she's 15 years older, or you don't get to play her, or they try and kill her off in the first episode to be a bit controversial, it's going to feel cheap. I don't want it to be like an 80s horror film where the sequel always kills off the person that survives the first one.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. I think there's lots of potential for it to cheapen what the original experience was. But I think we just got to wait and see if they can actually pull it off. I think there's some interesting things they could do with her character. She's been through season one. Season one was largely about Lee and Clementine's relationship and her learning about this world and how she needs to behave in this world from Lee. So it'll be interesting to see where they set this. If this is a long time after season one and she's grown up a little bit and she's a little bit more mature.
Well, the end of this ends at the camp, doesn't it?
Protagonist. Sorry. Oh, yeah, it does. Yeah, it ends up at camp.
But so I don't know how much further. If that's 400 days after the event, I mean, the original season must have been longer than 400 days. It seems like a long time, doesn't it?
That's true, yeah.
So I don't know how much further they can go forward. And if they don't, then it'll... I don't know. I mean, playing as Clementine, I don't even know if that would be worse. I'm not convinced by it at all. And it's Walking Dead, so every story has to come to a bad end. That's like the key thing of it. So the more that she's in it, the more that they're going to either kill her off or turn into some sort of Ripley character walking around with like a shotgun or something, and it's just going to be a bit...
And cheapen it.
Yeah. That story's done. I don't mind if at some point, like say it's three, you come into a town and she's there, as like a side thing, she's still there, and then you carry on and you move on, but I just don't...
Yeah.
I think... they haven't said that they're focusing on her, so I'm withholding, I'm withholding any complaints about the idea or displeasure that they're doing it, but I am concerned. It could just be that she's just in it as a cameo, almost. Yeah. She's there, but you don't really play around that, but I don't know. I think they've got more to lose
than they have to gain.
Yes, by including her in it.
Okay, then. Yeah, that's quite interesting. I share your concerns as well. I think it could cheapen the original experience. There's a risk of that if she's in it too much and they do something silly with her. But like we said before, developers, don't listen to us. You've got your ideas about where this is going. If she has been included purely because they've listened to fans on the internet, that could work in some ways, but I wouldn't necessarily like to think that they've done that just because they're listening to outspoken fans. Go with your creative vision. Stick with your creative vision. You've got an idea about what you want to do. Stick with it and see it through. So any more thoughts on The Walking Dead 400 edition?
Not great, but still definitely play it if you've done the first season, because it will, just those little extra options, it'll give you a flavour for the characters that are going to be in. And for the price of, it's not a lot. It's half the price of a cinema ticket. It's about 2 hours long, an hour and a half. So it's the same as a film. It's definitely worth it.
Definitely, yeah. It's not a failed experiment. Interesting experiment with some flaws, I would say. Okay, so that's it for episode 28 of the Thundercast. If you want to let us know what you think of The Walking Dead 400 Days, head on over to thunderballgames.com and check out the forums. Or alternatively, contact us on Twitter @_thunderball or email us at podcast@thunderballgames.com. From me, it's goodbye. I'm from Shane.
Goodbye.